Have you ever bought fake goods? Well, outside London, Northern Ireland is the counterfeit capital of the UK. According to a report by PricewaterhouseCoopers, counterfeit goods have gone mainstream, with people regularly buying likes of counterfeit alcohol, cigarettes, medicine, films, music, clothes, car parts. Andrew McVeigh's with us today. Morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the commentator, Lada Sharma. Morning, Lada.
Good morning.
What are your thoughts here, Andrea?
Well, I am one of those people who buys counterfeit goods. And, I mean, I've bought them all over the world. I remember the first time on a trip to Dubai, I heard about this area that everybody went to, that you could buy fake Hermes Birkin bags. And they're about £5,000 to £100,000 for the real thing, and a huge waiting list. And you go along to this area in Dubai, you sort of say you want to see the handbags, you're brought upstairs, and there's like a big room of all these fake Birkin handbags that you get for like about maybe 50 quid rather than £10,000.
Is it not illegal to buy counterfeiters? Is it just illegal to sell it?
Well, I've checked this out before speaking to you this morning, obviously, and it seems to be it's illegal to sell it, but it's not illegal to buy it. Obviously, if you buy it in a foreign
country. But you're colluding with illegality, aren't you?
Well, is it? Yeah, I guess. But, you know, I don't think that stops people, and it doesn't stop me. I've bought things in night markets in Asia, in Bangkok.
Where?
Chanel purses. Bangkok, you know, the sort of night markets in Thailand. But Chanel purses, shoes, Louis Vuitton type things.
Don't they put rat's pee into the fake perfume ladder? Like, disgusting.
You know what? I love the idea of having designer gear, but I just don't see what the point is if you can't afford the real thing. First point. The second point, I suppose, is for me, people have stated that they're not really concerned, as Andrea's just sort of stated, she's not really concerned. And I kind of understand why people tend not to be concerned, because they tend to focus on the loss of revenue, they focus on the brands and the businesses and things like that. For me personally, there's a darker side to counterfeiting, and that puts me off, because I know somewhere someone or a whole group of families or of disadvantaged people are basically being exploited and undoubtedly suffering, because we have a wee need to have something fancy and shiny to cling on to and to walk around with. And to me, that's just not what I think is a good idea at
but
all.
But are they suffering? In what way are they suffering?
Oh, right, child labour. Why do you think these fake items are sold so cheaply? You think
But isn't there an argument about that for high street goods if we go into like
Absolutely.
Any shop in high street?
Absolutely.
So therefore we wouldn't buy anything, in which case I will never be able to afford a Prada bag in my life. And even if
well,
I could...
Why do you
I
need
couldn't.
It if it's not the real thing?
Because it's not the real thing. Because I could never afford one in
but
my
why
life.
Why would you want it if you can't afford it?
Because, even if I had the money, even if I had £5,000, I would never spend it on a handbag. But I suppose I like the design of it. You know,
yeah, I know, and I like the design of it too, but my concern... I agree, my desire for having these things would be equally, as great as yours. The only thing that puts me off is the fact that I can't abide the idea that I might be making someone further online down the food chain suffer because I have a need to have something... to make myself look good or to make myself feel special.
But
it just doesn't work.
In that case, you wouldn't buy anything because there's those issues about everything that we
no,
buy.
No, not on everything.
Down the food chain is not making enough money, or there's child labour, or there's sweatshops.
Well, listen, you know there's sweatshops. You know what happened in Bangladesh when even legitimate companies were using these.
But that's what I'm saying. They're legitimate companies. So do you not buy anything from shops in case they're made in sweatshops?
I do try to be conscious of the fact of who's suffering. I mean, there was an amazing program done by a girl called Stacey Dooley on BBC Three many years ago where they took a load of students out to take them right to the source of where their products were coming from. Be it the burgers they ate or be it...
I saw that. That was brilliant.
It was amazing. And the journey that those kids went through and what they realised was their desire for all these goods and all these designer outfits, they became aware of who they were actually affecting. And then it became a realisation, you know what, that's not important. You need.
But you haven't answered my question. Do you buy things from high street stores? Because there are those arguments about high street stores, sweatshops.
Absolutely, I agree. There are those arguments about high street stores.
Do you buy those things from high street stores? Then what do you
spend your money on? We're not talking about high street stores here, Andrew. We're talking about illegal counterfeit goods. And I would prefer to be on the side of somewhere that I hope would be doing the right thing and the company would be doing the right thing.
Whether
what is the need?
That doesn't mean that I'm aware completely of what the people who are supposed to be on the right side of the legal system doing the right thing.
I'm actually interested.
I'm relying on them to do the right thing.
I'm interested too in terms of what is the real need for designer gear?
I totally
agree. What is branded designer gear actually do? And I'll tell you another thing that I have never understood in my entire life. You see these women who pay £2,000 for a handbag. Are they completely off their rocker?
Well, no,
could someone tell me what a £2,000 handbag does that a £20 handbag doesn't do?
Well, it's better made for a start.
It's not £2,000 better made.
So the child labour does work for you then, Andrea?
No, if you're spending £2,000, imagine if you buy a handbag from Prada, it's not the result of child labour. Surely these are all hand-stitched in Italy. They're made in little artisan craft. People make them and they hand-stitch. So basically, if you ban a designer object, you're banning fashion at its source. This is where all the fashion ideas come from.
But £2,000. Seriously, I didn't believe people until I saw it. £2,000 for a handbag, Andrea.
I could never afford £2,000 for a handbag.
But could it be justified?
I wouldn't pay it, which is why I buy the £20 knockoff version in Turkey or Dubai or
Asia. Knockoff version that some wee poor person has had to get and stitch up, and then they get stitched up by the counterfeiters who stitch them up, and then along comes people like yourself who go, "Oh, that looks lovely, and it's designer. Look, I'll take that." Totally ignoring the fact that you could be hurting somebody down the line. The hypocrisy of our society is just unbelievable. We have the cheek to kick up things about top executives from banks, the media moguls, senior managers in hospitals and unions and politicians taking advantage of us, and we fail to recognise the advantage we're taking of the people further on down the line.
What about poor people in this country who aspire to a lifestyle that they will never be able to...
Aspiration should not be about a handbag.
What about poor people in Northern Ireland who want that handbag, who it makes them feel better about themselves?
Isn't that terrible that a handbag's going to make them feel better?
Well, isn't lots of things terrible in the world? And
that's what the whole point of this
discussion is. Why not let them have the handbag? Why not let them have the handbag that costs £20? So you're talking about an entire overthrow of our consumer system. What I'm talking about is one person who lives in poverty who wants to buy a knockoff good, whether it's a Rolex watch or a Prada handbag.
You want to ignore the fact that you're stamping on other people's lives.
It makes them feel better about themselves. Well, that's the capitalist consumer system that we live in.
And do you not want to challenge?
There's going to be somebody further on down the food chain.
Do you not want to challenge the system you live in?
Well, I'd love to, but that would mean I wouldn't buy anything at all.
Oh, because load of rubbish, of course you would buy.
Here's Margaret in South Belfast. Morning, Margaret.
Morning, Stephen. I'm listening to two ladies.
Oh, they do my head in, for goodness sake, screaming over each other.
Wouldn't
they give you a headache is what I've got to put up with.
Wait, Stephen, the word, and then just after taking two paracetamol and after making a 10-10 verse, shouting over one or an arguing one over handbags.
Screaming.
I mean, Stephen, I was saying to one of your colleagues,
I wouldn't call them a colleague. I'm forced to work with them.
Her jeans, whatever. I worked in a shirt factory years ago, and sewing up ordinary cotton, do you make a full garment of a shirt for a man? And once you put a logo on it, not say like Ben Sherman or whatever it is, maybe you're going to go for the logo number, pay dear for it, and they're exactly the same.
No, I don't.
Maybe getting pre-marked.
There's no way I would pay dear. No way I would pay dear.
No way, I would pay, see, for a handbag, Stephen, pay the lick of that. That's only like you're throwing your money away in that, and you get exactly the same everywhere else, and you're just throwing your money away for stupid things with a stupid logo on it.
Vinny, he runs around with labels and everything.
What do you mean?
Is that a handbag? Does he have one of them ones he throws over his shoulder?
He's got a designer handbag, he does.
I have
a
gym bag.
Well, then he must pay about 50, 60 or 100 pounds for money to throw away.
Thank you, Lada. Leave me alone. You can't talk anyway. You don't even do your own shopping, Stephen. Your mum goes out and buys your jumpers and your shirts and irons them for you, and you're 40.
I don't want to start a fight here, Stephen, but that's all I have to say anyway.
Too late, Margaret.
Margaret, how much?
Okay, bye-bye.
What do you think of these women that pay thousands for a handbag, Margaret?
Me?
Aye.
I honestly wouldn't pay it myself, Stephen. I mean, I go into the cancer shops and charity shops,
yeah.
and I get ones that's near enough brand new, and I get them for maybe £2-3, whatever, and that does me lovely, because
exactly.
at the end of the day, I'm not a greedy person of that, and
exactly.
if it's money, it's money well for you and that. But if you have, there's a lot of poor people out there that can't afford it, and they think it's great to get a bag or something like that for £2.99 or a fiver, and they think it's great.
Listen, you see, Margaret, on that... Do you know that floor that I don't go on very often? In case
what
I'm,
floor is
unless
that,
I'm being
Stephen?
The sixth floor in the BBC. The floor where I'm, you know, I'm summoned to if I'm being told off.
Right.
See, if you go up there, for a start, it smells like a perfume shop because they've got all of their different aftershaves and their perfumes and all
it's
this
not
kind of stuff.
Up there where they listen to Radio 2.
No, but I don't mind that there.
And then,
you
and do you know the only time?
Do
you know the only time on that management floor, that sixth floor, Margaret? This is a true story. Do you know the only time Radio Ulster switched off?
Yes.
9:30.
Proper
they listen
honor.
To Radio 2.
They so they've got their wee, up there one day and they said, we can't switch it over. We're listening
true.
To Radio 2.
They've got their wee designer shirts and they've got their wee aftershaves.
But have they paid the full price?
And their coiffured hair.
Have they paid the full price?
And they switch me
I'm
off and listen to Radio 2.
Any wonder.
Well, I'm being honest, Stephen. I have to be honest with you. See, when I'm out before I go to bed at night,
yes.
I have my alarm clock set for 9 o'clock
yes.
for your show
yes.
every morning. Every morning,
do you
and
know,
I never miss it.
Do you know, Margaret, the type of person that sixth floor listens to? This'll sum them up. Crawley.
Right.
That's all I need to say. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
I'd like to tell you a wee story here, if I may.
Yes.
I have an uncle. He used to make jumpers and stuff like that, and he made trousers and stuff. And what he did was
yes.
he went to Scotland and he bought his wool. He would then send that to sweatshops around the world. And they would make the garment, but they would always leave a button off it or a zip out of it or a stitch out of it. That garment was then sent to either New York, London, or Paris, where that button would be put in, the stitch put in, or the zip put into it. That entitled him to put a label on it, finished in New York, finished in London, finished in Paris. He says they all do it. Everything, every mass-produced item you buy, he says, made in the sweatshops.
Uh-huh.